This episode of the Police One podcast is sponsored by Officer Store. Learn more about getting the gear you need at prices you can afford by visiting officerstore.com. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Policing Matters on policeone.com. I'm your host, Jim Dudley. Be sure and check us out on the video and graphics version of our shows on the YouTube channel of Police One. Well, it is sometimes difficult to keep up with the changes in laws, policies, and other law enforcement management. The transition from the traditional FBI UCR, the Uniform Crime Reports, to the NIBR system, the National Incident-Based Reporting System, was an unfunded mandate that have left a huge gap in crime data reporting. David T. Snively is a program manager for the International Association of Chiefs of Police, the IACP, where he coordinates the Collaborative Reform Initiative Technical Assistance Center, or CRITAC. He can tell us about how CRITAC works and give us some examples of how you can benefit at your agency. Well, welcome to Policing Matters, David Snively.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, so you've been a line police officer through the ranks up to interim chief. Surely you can tell us where agencies can benefit most from a CRITAC benefit. Tell us how a typical request may come in.
Sure, yeah. So the CRITAC project, the Collaborative Reform Initiative Technical Assistance Center, is unique in a lot of ways. In the first place, this is a program that has transcended presidential administrations. So started under the Trump administration, it's continued under the Biden administration. And that's really unique for funding, right? And I think that it speaks to the level of importance that's being placed on delivering high quality training and technical assistance to police agencies across the country. And so the project is available to law enforcement agencies of almost any type. It's open to state, local, territorial, tribal, and campus law enforcement agencies. So we really cover a very broad spectrum. Police departments, sheriff's offices, all of those are eligible to receive funding. And the rub is this. Unlike a traditional grant application where a police agency has to, you know, submit their grant application, if they're selected, they're then required to track the spending, do their progress reports, all of that sort of what can be cumbersome for agencies. This is not that. The CRITAC project is grant funded, but we manage the grant. And so I'll tell you the we. The we are the IACP, and we're the primary recipients of the grant, but CRITAC is administered in partnership with eight other leading law enforcement organizations. And so IACP coordinates this with a COPS office, but we are partnered with the Fraternal Order of Police, the International Association of Campus Law Enforcement, the International Association of Directors of Law Enforcement, the FBI National Academy Associates, the National Association of Women in Law Enforcement, National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, National Sheriff's Association, and the National Tactical Officers Association. So when you think of it in sort of that sense as, hey, these are the most reputable policing organizations in the country, and they're doing all the paperwork for us, it really kind of sells the project, I think, in a unique way. So you asked how requests typically come in or who would most benefit. I'd say that any police department of any size can benefit. It's my opinion that this is especially well suited for law enforcement agencies that are maybe small to mid-sized agencies, and particularly those who are struggling with funding. I'm sure that's not been a problem for anybody anywhere in the country, but you know, if it were, and of course I'm saying that sarcastically, right? Every police department is struggling with funding. And so what this offers is a vehicle for agencies to receive training and technical assistance in support of projects at no cost. The types of projects that we support run from active shooter response or active assailant interventions to starting an officer wellness program or conducting a policy review for an agency that's looking to update their standards around, say, vehicular pursuits or use of force. So we've touched more than 60 programmatic areas, have an entire list of topics that we're able to cover. And the idea is this is designed to be a by the field for the field approach. This is not the case that we walk in and say, we're from the government, we're here to help. That's not this approach. What we're doing through the partnerships with all of our partner organizations is we're finding folks who are subject matter experts in the field. So Jim, you call and say, hey, listen, we've got this problem with recruiting and retention. And really we want to start a mentorship program. Hey, great. Nolly has a fabulous mentorship program and some subject matter experts. And here's some folks we can partner you with. So we're connecting you with real experts who are still doing the work in the field and bringing them to you to deliver that expertise in sort of a one-on-one way.
So is it so altruistic, or does Nolly get something from this? There's got to be a budget and there's got to be some capacity issues.
Yeah, that's right. So the grant funding from the COPS office to date, Collaborative Reform, across the three branches, which includes CRITAC, the Technical Assistance Center, as well as two other portions, Critical Response and Organizational Assessment, has received more than $20 million in funding since 2017. That is allocated by the COPS office through grant applications. And so for CRITAC, we've received those. So for example, the fiscal year 23 award that was just announced by the COPS office is for an additional $1.75 million in funding. And so we will take that on average. I would say that our average investment in a training or technical assistance delivery is between $10,000 and $15,000. And so, but that budget component, the real beauty of this project is that the agency never sees it. You're right, absolutely. There's a capacity issue, right, for how many sites we bring on in a given week or month, how we schedule those and build out the time. But the IACP staff assigned to this project are the ones who are doing the budgeting, figuring out what the cost from those subject matter experts are, and how we pay those on the back end. The agency never sees that. It never has to be concerned about it at all.
Hmm, that's great. And I would be remiss if, a colleague of mine, Charlie Pitt, Kathleen Diaz, writes the Rural Badge and is constantly championing the rural and the smaller agencies that don't have the funding. Do you get the advice, the policies, or do you get any nuts and bolts equipment as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this process is typically not for like software or hardware acquisition, but if let's just take, for example, a particular piece of technology that you're looking to implement. Maybe it's gunshot detection, right? What the CRITAC project would support in that would be policy development. If you needed facilitated meetings with your community members or stakeholders that had concerns around the implementation of this technology. The IACP, through our Model Policy Center, is well positioned to share through these projects resources, but we also have been collecting since 2017 resources from all of our partner organizations. Resources that have been put out, anything that's been published by the Department of Justice through the Bureau of Justice Statistics or the Bureau of Justice Administration or the COPS Office, all of those publications are being culled so that we can pull those into one document and provide them to the agency that's requesting assistance and say, hey, here's everything we know about the topic. And here's the expert who's doing work in this place. He's going to tell you what these documents mean, how they can be applied to your agency, and maybe point out some of the challenges you're going to have or concerns you should be making on the front end of implementing this project.
Okay, I see. So you heard my introduction about NIBRS. I bring it up constantly because I teach a crime and data class, and I try to explain to the students, we really don't have our best tracking of crime data. It was sent to transition from UCR in 2020, but somewhere along the line, we went wrong. The FBI UCR manual was like a binder full of codes. Now, NIBRS, much more complicated. We went from nearly 85 to 90% reporting rates of UCR to 50 to 60% of NIBRS. Is there a fix to that? Could CRITAC help out in that way?
Yeah, look, you're speaking my language. I'm a huge data nerd. I'm a doctoral candidate at Georgia State University, and some of the folks on our faculty are actually working in this space and really looking at the NIBRS data and what they mean and how they've changed, how reporting has changed. You asked kind of what went wrong. You know, this is David Snively's personal opinion, right, about the transition. And I think it was on a lot of fronts. I think a lot of agencies struggled. There's a technology component. UCR was built into a lot of the CAD and computer reporting systems. There was a training element. People didn't know what it was and how it rolled out. And so I think we're starting to see some of the numbers trend upwards because people have had time, agencies have had time to purchase new equipment, receive new training, acquire new staff, all whatever they need to do to sort of support the uptick in NIBRS. As to whether or not this is something that CRITAC could support, the broader concepts, absolutely. Can CRITAC come and pay for your agency to get a new computer-based reporting system? No, we can't do that. But can we come and either do a remote or an in-person consultation with your crime and intelligence analyst and talk to them about what conceptually is different between NIBRS and UCR? Can we find a or facilitate training for your agency and how to implement the NIBRS transition? Absolutely, we can. And maybe that's a training that we identify from a vendor. Maybe it's one that some of our partners are aware of. Maybe it's one that's already been put out by the Bureau of Justice Statistics or the FBI that we're pointing you towards and having some facilitated conversation around. So when we talk about how CRITAC delivers, you know, it's not just about sharing resources. Sometimes it's referring agencies to toolkits and reports and publications that already exist. Sometimes it's training in person or virtual. Again, we've talked kind of about this virtual mentoring or consultation that can be on site. So all of those are sort of different ways that we can get this information to an agency. And that's this is a great example. This is an area that you're obviously interested in and considering, and rightfully so. And the answer is yes, CRITAC can be a way to support it. And I would just add that by extension, then, if there's a chief or an agency executive, a sheriff, somebody who's listening to this podcast and saying, man, I'm really struggling with fill in the blank. The answer is likely that CRITAC can be a resource to you for that particular challenge, whatever it is.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been thinking long and hard about this. We've been talking about it for a few years now. And it would be great to partner with a grant that would hire civilians, because civilian staffing is always first to go in a budget cut, right? So you need cops on the street, but then you end up, or we end up, with cops doing data entry or some other task of a civilian that we just cut. So it'd be great to see a grant hiring civilians and then maybe sandwich on top the CRITAC to teach them how to do analyst jobs, like to upgrade their NIBRS reporting.
Yeah, look, shameless plug. I'm going to be guest editing a special edition of the Police Chief Magazine for November of 2024. And the topic of the November 24 Police Chief Magazine is going to be professional staff or non-sworn staffing in police agencies. And I think, again, sharing my opinion and my observations from my work in the space, I think that we do see a lot of police agencies looking and starting to say, you know what, it doesn't make sense to be allocating a sworn position to this task, particularly in this time where we're so short on sworn staff. So I think you're exactly right. I think there's a great space for a transition there. I think one of the things that I tell folks often is if your agency isn't actively seeking grant funding through any one of the federal organizations, but especially through the COPS office, right? The only mechanism in the Department of Justice that has policing in the name, right? It's the Office of Community-Oriented Policing Services. There is funding available for these sorts of projects. And exactly to your point, CRITAC wouldn't support, you know, a hiring or training initiative in that sense, but we could absolutely provide technical assistance to an agency that had these staff and were trying to figure out how best to involve them in maybe their strategic plan or the delivery of data-informed policing.
Yeah, great. And get them up and running in no time rather than, you know, trial and error, learn while on the job. Sounds like a great plan. All right. So what is the most frequent request? What are agencies asking for from you?
It won't surprise you to learn that this changes over time. The CRITAC was designed to be responsive to the needs of the field. I would tell you that right now we've got two training classes developed through the CRITAC grant and approved by the COPS office, and they are by far the most popular request right now, and that's our duty to intervene training, which is called Making the Right Choice, and also our hate crimes recognition and reporting training. I can share with you that there's a second hate crimes training that's in development, which is focused around the successful prosecution of hate crime instances. And so I would say that those are our most popular training requests right now, because agencies recognize there's a tremendous need. And we have a curriculum that's Department of Justice COPS office approved to be able to put it out and say, hey, this is the recommended industry best practice, and this is how we can help you in this area. Awesome. Some of our other very popular requests right now are around recruiting and retention. And what we find is that through conversation with the agencies, this means different things to different agencies. So instead of just saying recruiting and retention, what we really can kind of unpack is, hey, for some agencies, there's a real need for mentorship, because the agency recognizes that there's not really clear paths to promotion or special units, and they're losing officers because of that. For other agencies, it may be that they need some support around ways to actively recruit historically marginalized communities or underrepresented communities, demographics in their agency. And so maybe they really need help on that recruiting component. So a lot of what the CRITAC project tries to do is really not hand folks these cookie cutter handouts and say, we think this is going to fix your problem. Instead, we're working with the agency to understand what exactly is the need or the challenge that you face, and then figure out how best we can support that through which mechanism, which partner, which vendor, all of those sorts of things.
Yeah, awesome. And I want to ask you about how the requests are rewarded or awarded, but first I'd like to take a moment and thank our sponsor, Officer Store, equipping protectors with passion. That's how we operate, and it's how we live. We understand that having the right gear can mean the difference between life and death. Our goal is to get you the gear you need, when you need it, at prices you can afford. Visit us at officerstore.com. And we're back and speaking with David T. Snively, Program Manager at the International Association of Chiefs of Police Collaborative Reform Initiative and Technical Assistance Center. With consent decrees at departments popping up around the country, can CRITAC be used to help agencies get back into compliance? We've seen arrays of where the consent decrees cite problems in, you just mentioned, recruiting, hiring, fairness, use of force, and things like that. Where would CRITAC fit in there?
The idea for CRITAC is really to be preventative more than it is reactive. So for an agency, right, who's challenging with delivering policing in a particular community, the idea with CRITAC is, hey, let's treat this before it's a problem. Let's take a look at the data and see what they show about your agency's interactions with members of your community, and whether there's evidence of maybe bias or problematic policing, right? Let's do that before this turns into something maybe more. And so the idea here is, again, driving on that for the field, by the field approach. We're not here to tell you, point fingers and say you're doing this wrong. We're really here to support you and tell you how to do it right, and to give you that support. There have been, to your question, there have been some very limited instances where CRITAC received special permission to do work in agencies that were under a federal consent decree. That requires a certain number of approvals through the COPS office. It's been done, and it is possible, but the best case scenario is that agencies are proactively saying, you know what, we haven't really given a whole lot of consideration to our traffic stop data. Or, you know, we'd really like to understand more about where our officers are initiating their stops and what that looks like relative to where our calls for service are originating, but we're not sure how to do that. Or, you know, we've got this policy that somebody put in here a couple of years ago about unbiased policing, but we don't know what it means and we've never trained our staff on it. So we'd really like to do that, right? So these things that sort of drive agencies maybe towards the problematic behaviors that later turn into these sort of conflagrant public events that then turn into investigations and consent decrees. We're trying to say, hey, let's get ahead of all of that and say policing is a professional institution. Professional institutions require meaningful training and policy development and technical assistance to make sure we're getting it right. And CRITAC is a vehicle to deliver that before there's a problem.
Okay, so let's take a peek behind the curtain. Are you CRITAC? Is David T. Snively CRITAC? or I mean, you IACP has, if you're a member, you can look at an array of templates for policies, body-worn cameras, de-escalation, things you just mentioned, drone programs. So what are your resources? Are you just pulling levers and contacting the organizations, NOLLI and Noble and the ones you just talked about? Or do you have a staff that is looking at these requests and fulfilling them by need? If you get a small agency compared to a metropolitan city that probably has a lot of funding already, does that come into consideration?
So I would love to take credit and tell you that I'm the guy behind the curtain. That's not anywhere close to true. I have an extraordinary team who support this project. Some people know this. The IACP as a whole, we've got a membership of over 33,000 members, but our staff is actually only around 150 total staff. Across all of the divisions of the IACP, everything from our programs and meeting teams to the programs team and global. So this particular project, the CRITAC project, is supported by 7 staff members. And those are project managers, a senior project manager, and our coordinators. So when an agency submits a request, and they can do that, by the way, online at collaborativereform.org, and an agency executive can put in a request, or an authorized person can put in a request, and that comes to the team. The team is very quickly going to schedule a call to understand, sort of like we talked about before the break, what exactly it is that they're looking for. When it comes to deciding sort of how to service these requests and in what order, to a degree, it's sort of how requests come into us and in some ways the order that they're received. You know, I'm astonished. I'm very, very proud of the fact that the CRITAC project has supported almost 1,000 agencies through training and technical assistance deliveries since 2017. But when you recognize that there's 18,000 police agencies in the country, that's suddenly not an impressive number anymore, right? And so we say that what we have found is that lots of agencies simply aren't aware that this resource exists. But this isn't a grant application, and so it's therefore not a grant award process. So it's not the case where we're scoring, you know, applications as they come in. But we do work to consider, hey, we've got a limited budget. $1.75 million for fiscal year 23 is an extraordinary amount of money, but it's also not, right? And so how do we best allocate that across these topics? We're looking at what delivery mechanisms work best. And sometimes we're able to say to agencies, hey, this is a great request, and here's a free resource that can service it for you, and we'll refer them off in that way. So lots of things. There's no mystery and there's no magic to this process, but it is the case that there's lots of moving parts to it. And you're right. That's where we're really fortunate to be able to lean on the staff who support this project directly, and then all of the support staff from the partner organizations who are contributing their ideas, their experience and expertise, and sort of unique angle as we look at any particular request.
Well, it's a great service. I'm sure so many agencies can benefit from being a recipient of one of your awards. So I hope some people who have not heard of CRITAC get a listen on this podcast and get a hold of you. I am going to put your link below on how they can apply. Thanks for being on the show. David T. Snively, Program Manager for the IACP, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, and the Collaborative Reform Initiative Technical Assistance Center. Hey, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity, and we're very hopeful that we can be a resource to some of your listeners and their agencies. Thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate it. Hey, to our listeners, if you haven't heard about CryTech, and if you have the authority, make that application. And if you don't, then push it up the rank and make sure your agency knows about it and get some free training. Free is always good. So let me know what you think. Drop me a line at policingmatters@policeone.com. policingmatters@policeone.com. And check out our links below. And hey, stay safe. And thanks for listening. Hope to talk to you again real soon. Take good care.